Okay, for the purpose of the recording, my name is Barry Adams, and this is the weekly fatherheart.tv webcast. And today is Wednesday, April the 10th, 2019. And what I'm wanting to talk about today, and I haven't really shared this message before, so it may be a bit disjointed, and it also may be just from, you know, my perspective, but I've titled it "How to Deal with Adult-Sized Challenges in Your Life." So, my question right off the bat is anybody dealing with adult-sized challenges today? You know, the thing that really kind of motivated me to actually share this message is. Last week, for those who were on the webcast, or maybe those who watched the webcast, the recorded version afterwards, my friend Mark Jai, shared a message called "Being Carried by My Father." And honestly, I don't throw around these kind of compliments like this, but it was one of the best messages that I've heard on the topic of weakness. I think Mark did an amazing job, just absolutely unpacking the the dynamics of why, you know, how the Father meets us in our weakness, how the childlike heart is dovetailed into weakness. And so, you know, I talked to Mark about it afterwards. I listened to the message a second time after I asked Mark for his notes. So as you can tell, it really has impacted me. And so I want to kind of start off where he left off last week, and I just want to try to, in the best of my ability, to unpack some practical ways that might help us in our everyday life learn to embrace our weakness. You know, as Mark said, you know, it's not something that, you know, weakness isn't something that is kind of something we want to run to. We often want to be strong, and we want to be self-sufficient, and even a lot of times our definition of maturity is independence, and that we can manage life on our own. And the kingdom of God is really, it's not upside down, it's actually the right side up, but the kingdom of God is completely different than the world system, where we know that God has chosen the weak of the world, the weak things of the world, to shame the things that are strong. He's chosen the poor things to shame the rich. And he's chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And of course, that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 26. And Mark did an amazing job of just unpacking that. And what does it actually mean to, you know, to walk in weakness? So, you know, and of course, one of the things that, just starting with, I just want to read another scripture that Mark referred to last week. And this is from John 16, verse 33. And basically, it's Jesus speaking. And he's basically saying, being a Christian doesn't insulate us from trouble. And I think one of the challenges that we can have in our life is if we have this idea that if we somehow are in some kind of suffering, in some kind of hardship, some kind of trouble, that somehow that is, you know, we're disqualified, or we don't have enough faith, or, you know, somehow God's punishing us. And Jesus just basically said in John 16, 33, he said this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And so I think if we can come to terms in our, just our daily life, that we live in a broken world system, we live in an orphan-based world system, we live in a fallen world system where even creation is groaning and travailing and waiting for the glorious freedom of the children of God. So we are in a, all around us is not how God intended things to be in the garden. And so if we just come to terms with that and realize, yeah, there are bad things that happen to good people. There's injustice that happens. There's suffering. There's pain. But Jesus says that we can actually be of good cheer because he has actually overcome that broken world system. even though there's lots of trouble. So again, for me, I can only give to you what I first received, just like you can only give to me what you first received. And so I want to try to articulate the best way I can how life works for me and my wife. Now, when I speak for me, it's really both us together in how life works and how we manage difficulties and challenges that come, adult-sized problems, right? I mean, you don't have to really look for trouble because it seems like it can just be around the corner, whether it's, you know, I mean, I don't want to name all kinds of things to, especially to bring any light to it, but whether we struggle with the fear of man or fear of rejection, fear of poverty, disappointments, fear of the future, illness, hurts, pains, all kinds of things that are bombarding us. All we have to do is watch the news every day and, you know, we can actually go down into the doldrums just because there is not an awful lot of good news. But I really believe that knowing that we're loved by God, knowing who He is to us, knowing who we are to Him, when the more that we are able to really, really grasp the substantial reality of His love, every day in the midst of good days, bad days, and every day in between, the more that we will not, I think, define our life by our circumstances. And I think this is what Paul was talking about in Romans 8, starting at verse 35 to 38. He says these things. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, Paul, when he says these things, he actually spends some time talking about things that try to separate us, right? Like adult-sized problems, whether it's life or death or demons or powers or the future. Like he basically says, you know, he's pretty much covering everything when he says that there's nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God the Father that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so that means because the love of the Father is in Jesus and we're in Jesus and He is in us, then the love of the Father is in us, as Jesus prayed in John 17, "I and them, Father, and you and me." And I think separation from God is an illusion because nothing can separate us from His love. But oftentimes when we go through hardship, when we go through trials, we can have this illusion of being separated. But the truth of the matter is, the more that we are aware of the Father's love for us and our value to Him, the more that it will set our heart at peace. That's why Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. You see, I believe that the Father wants you and I to be able to have that peace that passes understanding in good days and bad days and every day in between, so that, you know, it becomes this anchor for our soul, that no matter what happens to us, we know that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from His love. And I really believe the more that we are able to get to that place, then we really will know that we are more than conquerors. We're not only conquerors, we're more than conquerors through His love, through Him who loved us. And so I just want to try to talk a little bit about that. And it just to be able to, you know, from my own life and some of the things that I ponder that it might help. Maybe I'm hoping it'll help somebody. You see, God never, and you know this, but God never designed our human bodies, you know, our hands, our brains, our heart, our emotions. He never designed our human bodies for this fallen world. We were never created to be fearful. God didn't create us to be anxious. He didn't create us to suffer. He didn't create us to experience rejection and pain. like if we look at the garden and life before the fall, we will see what God designed us for. And there's something called telomeres, and there's a condition called telomere shortening. Now, from what I understand, and I'm not a scientist in any way, and I did just a little bit of looking before the webcast again just to make sure I understood it. But telomeres are they form protein caps at the end of our DNA strands. So if you look, if you could see, you know, a microscopic look at your DNA, at either end of the DNA would be these caps. And the telomeres are these caps, these protein caps. And what happens is when we have chronic stress, chronic worry, anxiety, pain, fear, all the things that the human condition battles with, they begin to shorten. And you see these protein caps, these telomeres that are at the end of our DNA strands, they're meant to give the body the ability to fight disease and aging and all kinds of things. But the more chronic stress we have, the shorter they become on the DNA strands, which inhibits our ability to even fight illness. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that when you look at our design, when how God designed us, He did not design us to live in chronic fear, chronic anxiety, chronic worry. And so when Jesus came and He says, be of good cheer, you know, you're going to have trouble in the world. You're going to have the anxiety and the fear and the worry, but I have overcome the world. And of course, that overcoming is the love that God has for us, that we are more than conquerors. So when Adam and Eve, again, before fall, if you understand that that is what God, that's kind of the prototypical life. Now we have a better covenant even than Adam and Eve, because now we are joined with Jesus, and there's this union that His life has become our life. No longer I that lives, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, but Christ that lives in me. But in the Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They were oblivious even to their own nakedness. They had absolutely no shame. Now, this is pre-fall. They never questioned provision. They never questioned their protection. They never questioned their purpose. They, you know, Adam was charged with naming all of the animals in the garden. He tended the garden. He knew his purpose. He walked in unbroken fellowship with God. And they were innocent, and their life was just about simple obedience. And there was only one thing that God said to Adam and Eve, which were man and woman before the fall. He said, there's two trees in the garden, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was it. Other than that, it was simple obedience. And I truly believe that Jesus, through his, you know, and of course we're coming up to Easter next week, but Jesus, through his death and burial and resurrection, he provided a way for us to come home, not only home to the garden experience, but home to his heavenly Father. And that's why he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So I just want to unpack again. Please forgive me if I'm not making any sense. I'm doing my best here, but I just want to unpack a little bit. What does that mean? How can we practically deal with these adult-sized problems, adult-sized challenges that we deal with in a broken, fallen, orphan world system? And I think there are of course many scriptures that speak of, you know, that help us with this, but the passage that I want to talk about today, and it won't be of any surprise to anybody who knows me, but I want to read Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5 again, and just unpack some of the nuggets of this passage that have helped Ann and I and continue to help us in practically living in that place of living in love, living in the place where God wants us to live, restored to our origins, restored to our destiny as his sons and daughters. So I'm just going to read it, and then I'll just talk about it a little bit. In that hour, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to himself and set him in the middle of them and said, most certainly I tell you, unless you turn and become as little children, you will in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then verse 5 says, whoever receives one such little child in my name receives me. So, I know, you know, for those who have been on the webcast a lot, or maybe you're hearing it afterwards, you've heard me talk an awful lot about a childlike heart and the high value a childlike heart is to God, and how Jesus said that, you know, that challenged his own disciples that they needed to change, or in some versions of the Bible says repent, you know, just change your way of thinking, go in the opposite direction, and become like a little child again. And you may ask yourself why that is. And I think, you know, for me, when I think about it, one of the things that I think that a childlike heart represents in the place of being loved and cared for and protected, and the smaller the child, the more these attributes apply. I really believe that when we start to learn to live life again, even as adults, as big people, with the heart of a child, with God is our loving Father, I truly believe that a childlike heart represents life in the garden again. That there is a way, practically. Now, I'm talking very, very practical terms, because oftentimes when I can talk about, you know, this idea of living with a childlike heart, and it's like Nicodemus saying to Jesus, when Jesus said, you must be born again, you know, Nicodemus tried to apply an adult understanding to that. He goes, well, how am I going to re-enter my mother's womb to be born again? And of course, Jesus' response to Nicodemus in John 3 was like, aren't you a leader of Israel and you don't understand this? You see, I believe this revelation of the Father's love that so touches the very core of our heart that needs to be loved, changes everything. It is the only thing, this revelation of the love of the Father, that can actually permission us to change and become like little children again. Because, you know, adults are strong and self-sufficient and manage life and independent. We do all, you know, we're just constantly, as Jesus said in Matthew 6 about the Gentiles, they're constantly seeking food, clothing, and shelter. They're constantly busying themselves, trying to protect themselves. But he also said to his disciples in Matthew 6, but your Father knows what you need. So you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he's going to look after you just like he looks after the birds of the field. But I truly believe that the more that we can kind of cease from our own works, our own self-effort, and really believe that God is our true Father, and that his desire is that we return to our origins, the place where we needed to be loved right in the beginning, the more that we will be able to live life here on earth as if we are living in the garden. Now, that doesn't insulate us from trouble. I mean, we're surrounded by a broken world system. See, I really even believe the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus said, he taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. There is a way that God's kids, who call him Father, can ask that his kingdom that is existing in another dimension, in another realm, be manifest on earth through us, because we are his kids. So when I think of a childlike heart, I think of some of these attributes, love, trust, faith, being protected. They're authentic, simple-hearted, at rest, dependent, helpless. They have amazing imaginations. They're weak. They're teachable. They're defenseless. They're content. They're amazing receivers, tender-hearted, full of joy, accepting, humble, carefree, obedient, spontaneous, curious, innocent, resilient, transparent. I could go on and on. But I believe that there is a place practically, and I'm saying practically here now, not just theoretically, where you and I, as grown-ups, and I'm a grandpa, so it's not like I'm, you know, just a youngin'. I have lived a little bit of life where we can actually change and become like little children again. You see, little kids can't manage life on their own, right? They need comfort, they need love, they need affirmation, they need protection, they need to be led. They are completely reliant on their parents for everything. And since God is our true Father, you know, he is the Ancient of Days, when he sees us. Now we, you know, have our gray hairs and we get older and we think, oh wow, we've had all this distance, all this time between us and when we were kids. When God sees us, he still sees us as his little one. You know, whether we're, you know, 12 or 112, the Father, when he looks at you, when he looks at me, he sees a little one, because he is the Ancient of Days. He's been around forever. In Isaiah 46, when he was talking to Israel, he said, even to your gray hairs and your old age, I am he who carries you. I am he who will sustain you, and I will rescue you. See, that's the Father's heart. If we see that he doesn't see us that way, if we see that he expects us to shape up or ship out, and that we have to be, you know, we have to manage things and we have to be strong and we have to be competent, I really believe we're misreading his heart for us. And the more that you and I are able to give ourselves permission to actually change, like Jesus said, and return to that place of becoming simple-hearted in our heart, being just little kids with a big dad, the more that we will begin to return to the garden life. You know, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, Paul writes this, be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love even as Christ also loved you. You see, the way that you and I can live in love, walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, is because we are God's beloved children. And we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are not subject to the principles of this world. We are of another kingdom. We are of we carry the DNA of God himself. 1 John 3 says, I think it's 1 John 3, or 1 John says that we have his seed in us. His seed remains in us. We have God's sperma in us. And I believe because we carry God's seed in us, that we don't have to function like the Gentile, broken, orphan world system, the pagan world system that is trying to get everything it cannot for its own. But we can begin to live as little kids with a really big dad. I mean, Jack Winter, who I've mentioned quite a bit and you guys have heard a lot about over the years, but Jack is, you know, he was an absolute champion. And when he referred to himself, he didn't refer to himself as any kind of grand title. He just said, I'm a little boy with a big dad. And I really believe that the more you and I are able to come to terms with this practically in our life, the more that it will help us manage life. It will help us see the impossible happen. And of course, when what Mark talked about last week about weakness and embracing weakness and allowing our Father to carry us, you know, we have three grandchildren, and if I put one of our granddaughters on my shoulders, right, so they were sitting on my shoulders, they have a vantage point far higher, not that I'm a tall guy, but far greater than if they were standing on the ground, right? What's life look like for you and I if we are absolutely sitting on our Father's shoulders? What kind of perspective do you and I have if we know that that's where we are? We're seated in heavenly places, hidden in Christ with God, right at the right hand of the Father in Christ. And I just believe that the childlike heart that Jesus talked about in Matthew 18 is a way for you and I to practically live dealing with all the troubles, all the problems, all the challenges that come. And now I do want to say that, like, I want to kind of unpack a little bit from Matthew 18, but I want to say this isn't a formula. Like, there is no formula in this at all, because I really believe what the Father wants to awaken in us is that intuitive heart, that, you know, little kids live by intuition, right? They don't have the intellect developed yet, so they are very responsive. They are very like in need of comfort and felt touch and love and just being held, and because they don't even have the concepts to be able to communicate, but so they live by intuition, which means they live by their heart. And I truly believe that the more that we are learning to walk in love as Christ loved us, as God's beloved children, being imitators of God himself because he's our dad, the more that you and I will be able to be a manifestation of kingdom life in ways that may even surprise us, because it's, again, the weaker we become, the more that the strength of Christ himself is perfected in us. And as Paul said when he, you know, the prayer to, about the thorn of the flesh, he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. And so I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. And because it's not about our own strength, it's always been about the strength of God himself that is in us. You know, put, you know, it says, put on the full armor of God. Right? It's not our armor, it's his armor. And, you know, when we become little in our hearts, it becomes easy peasy. I truly believe that, because kids don't even have the intellect to be able to manage this. They can't figure out theologically, am I believing the right thing? They just live, they just believe, they just trust, they just have all the fabric of how God created us pre-fall to live. And Jesus made a way for us to be restored back to that in our relationship with our Father. So there isn't a magic formula. So I'm not trying to when I unpack some of these things, it is intuitive. But I there are some things that I think are kind of interesting that I want to unpack. My question to you, and this isn't rocket science, but if you lose your car keys, where do you find your car keys? Where do you go to look for your car keys? You have to go to the place where you lost it, right? It's not rocket science. So when we were born, we were created to be loved. We were created to that the first impact, the first impression of love that we would experience as babies would be from our parents, right? Especially our mothers in the mother's womb, joined with her anatomy, her biology, that we would actually feel what our mother felt. And that was what God intended. And then, of course, if we were pre-fall, still in the garden, you know, God the Father would have been there on the day of our birth. That's what it says, Psalm 71, verse 6. King David said, you brought me forth from my mother's womb. And then at that moment, we would have even connected with God himself in life in the garden. But so if many of us, if not all of us, have had a disconnection from parental love, the love of a father, the love of a mother when we were children, the only place where we're going to find it again is by returning to that place of that childlike need for love. And that's where I remember so many times when we were with Jack, you know, just observing when he would pray for somebody, and you know, he would just ask a simple question. He would just say, can you be a little boy or a little girl that needs to be loved? And that's what he said to me before he prayed for me. He says, Barry, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? And so, you know, as I've grown in this revelation and I look back at that, I'm appreciating it more. I'm going, wow, when Jack would pray for people and just bring that connection with the adult to the child in them. And that when people are able to make that connection, and sometimes it takes courage to go there because, you know, when you were little, it wasn't safe. It's like, well, it wasn't safe because, you know, for little kids, adults are huge. Problems are huge. You know, like they're really, you know, parents can be even scary. So the idea that we can return to that place of childlike helplessness and defenselessness being defenseless and just needing to be vulnerable and in that scary place when we were little kids, the Father meets us now in our weakness. And we don't have that same experience that we did with our own parents. And we go, oh, I'm loved here. I'm safe here. I'm protected here. I'm provided here. And I believe that's why it's so important when Jesus said, unless you change and become like little children, that you're going to miss the kingdom, that there is this revisiting of our origin. And, you know, if we would look at kind of the traditional evangelical understanding of the new birth, right? Jesus said, unless you be born of water and of spirit, you won't see the kingdom. We would see that when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are born again into the kingdom, right? We are spiritual babes. We are in the kingdom. But then it's like, because of the immense pressure to get the job done and to work in the church and to volunteer and serve and all these other things, it's like we are actually expected to grow up again. So all of a sudden, we're not babes. We're not little anymore, that we're having to be adults again. We have to be self-sufficient. We have to be strong. We have to manage life. See, I don't believe that there's a, when we are born into the kingdom of God, I don't believe the God's intent is that we are to grow up again immediately and all of a sudden we're workers and, you know, busy bees in the kingdom. I truly believe that the Father wants us to stay little. Now, you know, of course, you know, we're big, you know, we get our bodies get older and everything else, but I believe there's something in the heart of the Father that we can stay small in our heart towards Him. Now, and I've said this over and over again, and you guys, you know this, but it's when I talk about a childlike heart, I'm not talking about childishness. I'm talking about childlikeness. And there's a huge difference. Childishness can be, you know, some of the most childish people I've met are adults. It's selfishness. It's self-centeredness. Sure, little kids can be childish at times. But what God is wanting is for us to return to the childlike simplicity of heart, where we can learn to discover the awe and the adventure of having Almighty God as our dad, and where we don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't have to try to provide for ourselves. We don't have to protect ourselves. We don't have to try to manage life. We don't have to be responsible for the weight of the world, that we can come to a place of simply learning to live in love. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ has loved us. And I think that's the thing. I know, you know, and I realize that I'm preaching to the choir with this, but I believe that this is the secret, at least for us, for Ann and I. And maybe, and I will say this, you know, if I am ministering out of my own life experience, which I am, but out of my own need, or if you know, if there's some kind of coping mechanism that I've picked up, maybe that's the case. I don't know, but I truly believe that we've had so many experiences over the last 20 years that have reinforced the benefits of living with a childlike heart, where Almighty God is our dad. That if you think I'm in denial, you know, just leave me alone, because it's working for us. But I believe when Jesus said that the pathway to true greatness, now, you know, Matthew 18 again, I'm coming back to that, where his, you know, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus said, bring a little child to me. And it was interesting. Jesus always said, bring a little child. So it wasn't like just a child, like an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old. It was a little child. So it was really assumed that it was either a toddler or a baby. And he presented the child to his disciples. And he says, in my paraphrase is basically, if you want to see kingdom greatness, here it is. And unless you change and become like this little child in your heart, you're going to miss the kingdom. And so when we think about what Jesus said to them, you know, and if I go back to that and just read again what Jesus said to them, He said, most certainly I tell you, unless you turn and become as little children, you will in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And one of the things that, you know, when I think about this, and what this is kind of the essence of what I want to say today, is that there's three things that are happening here. In this one passage of scripture, where Jesus is saying, unless you humble yourself like a little child, so there's a humbling yourself. There's also a turning. You know, in some passages it says unless you repent, and other passages say unless you change. Others say unless you turn. Basically, that word repent there, the change, is to go in the opposite direction. So there's unless you humble yourself, unless you go in the opposite direction to where you're going, and unless you become like a little child, you're going to miss the kingdom. So the three things I just want to submit to you is this: humbling ourselves, turning from our direction that we're normally going in, and becoming little children again. And the more I look at my life, the more that I see this as a I would say this isn't a one-off event where all of a sudden you change, become like a little children, and bang, you're there. At least not for us. What I have found from my own life is that this process of humbling myself, turning, and becoming is a continuum. Like every time I have a new opportunity where I mean, we've experienced countless times when the Father has just rescued us in so many different ways. When we've just become little kids and said, "I'm just little, help me, rescue me, Papa." But I don't know what it is, whether it's just a brokenness that is a continuing or remnants of an orphan mindset that's still in me. But I'm amazed how many times when I have trouble, when I have challenges, when I have problems in my life, my default setting is to try to manage it with my own understanding, my own strength, my own capacity, my own abilities. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we know it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths." And of course, so we know biblically that we're not to lean to our own understanding, that if we are to trust in the Lord, we are not leaning on our own understanding. So if you flip that and say, if you're leaning on your own understanding, then you're not trusting in the Lord. But I'm amazed over the years with my adult mindset how I have continually tried to manage life, manage my problems, manage my challenges, and try to figure things out. And typically, you know what happens to me? I kind of think more and more as I've been getting older, I'm hoping it's the case that this time in this space in with each challenge is getting smaller and smaller, you know, and some challenges, you know, they don't even it I don't even go here. I just stay little. But it's like I do this until I run out of steam, I run out of gas, I run out of my own resources. And I come to my senses like the prodigals, and I'm like, what am I thinking? God is my father. I am his little kid, and I'm just going to run to my dad and say, "Help me, Father. Rescue me, Father. Pick me up, Father. Protect me, Father. Thank you for your provision, Father." And it's just like, it seems like there's this place where I humble myself. I recognize that I'm weak, that I'm helpless, that I'm dependent, I'm not strong, I don't have anything in me and in my own human abilities that can do things, but through Christ I can do all things, but it's in Christ that I can do all things through his strength and not in my own ability. And but yet there is something in me that I have to run out of my own resources in any particular situation before I just kind of say, "Papa, what was I thinking? I'm just little." I can remember the early days of the Father's love letter where, you know, our vision was to see this simple love letter delivered to every home on the planet. That's a pretty big vision. And, you know, with that became the sense of being overwhelmed. And it was just my wife and I and our little house and, you know, all kinds of love letters all over the place. And I'm just like, I'm just short circuiting because I feel the pressure and the immense responsibility of this vision. And the only way that I could manage it, you know, I'd walk around the house and sometimes it would be anxious at first. And I'd just say, "I'm just little. I'm just a little boy. I'm just little. I can't do this." And the more that I came to my senses, I humbled myself. See, God resists the proud, right? But he gives grace to the humble. When we are proud, we are in self-effort. We are in our own works. We're in our own strength. We're in our own intellect. We're trying to manage life. We're trying to tree of knowledge of good and evil. If that's a saying. But when we are in the tree of life, we are empty. We are weak. We are helpless. We are dependent. We are foolish. We are poor in spirit. And it's in that place that the Father meets us and he carries us and he manifests his strength to us and he's so kind to us. And you know, I don't know how many times the Father has met me there, and he continues to meet me in every circumstance, in every area of our life where we need to trust him with everything, with all our heart. And I want to ask you today, like, is there something in you? Is there an adult-sized problem that you're dealing with in your own life that maybe is wearing you out? That, you know, maybe it's fear, maybe it's stress from work, maybe it's a broken relationship, maybe it's regret from the past, maybe it's uncertainty about your future, maybe it's, you know, like a thorn in the flesh like Paul had, you know, that there's something that is just constantly wearing you out. My encouragement to you today, that there is a way in the midst of the storm for you to return to childlike dependency and trust in every circumstance, in every situation that you're in, just like with me. That there is a place in our relationship with the Father where we know He is our dad. He is our Abba. And that He is our strength. And He is our sustenance. First Peter, Peter says, cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. Jesus so many times said, you know, don't you know that you're, like, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor store in the barns, yet your Father feeds them. Aren't you of much more value than they? See, there's something in my thick skull where I struggle to believe that that's true. And oftentimes I lean to the arm of the flesh. I lean to my own effort. I lean to my own intellect. And then I start battling in this realm where God never designed me to battle. He wants me sitting on His shoulders in a perspective that I could never do in my own efforts. We have seen more happen time and time again through God rescuing us and His mercy and His love and His strength on our behalf than we could ever do in a lifetime, in 1,000 lifetimes of self-effort. And yet, still, in my journey, every problem, every challenge, everything that comes, every opportunity, every fearful thought that comes is a fresh opportunity for me to go, oh no, I'm going to humble myself. I'm just going to acknowledge that I'm weak, that I'm small, that I'm little, that I'm helpless, that I can't do this. I'm going to turn. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to run into my Father's strong arms, and I'm going to learn to continue to become childlike in everything that I am. See, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus said that the kingdom belongs to little children. You see, if we could see a board of directors in heaven, I don't need know if something like that would exist, but if it did exist, what if it was just five-year-olds? We would think it would be the kings of the earth and the priests of the earth, but maybe it's a bunch of five-year-olds. That's what Brennan Manning said, heaven's going to be filled with five-year-olds. So my encouragement to you today is that I believe that God's fathering wants to eclipse every area of our self-effort. Any struggles that you're having, what if you, with every challenge that you had in your life right now, real. These are trouble. These are real things. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a concern about a family member. Maybe it's financial insecurity. Maybe it's just struggling to find where you belong. Would you be willing to ask the Father, say, Papa, help me by your Spirit that lives in me. Just help me to humble myself. I'm not big. I'm not a superstar. I'm just little. And Father, I just turn right now. I just turn in another direction. And I run into your arms. And I just want to become a little child. You see, when Jesus said that we're to become like little children, it wasn't like metaphorically, it was like to become childlike. You know, it's not just to think about concepts of children, but to become little. Because as Jack Winter used to say, he said, the smaller that we can become, the bigger that God can be, our Father can become on our behalf. So would you be willing today, and I'm asking myself this again, with all the adult-sized challenges that we continue to face, would you be willing to change, go in a different direction today? And that does require us to humble ourselves, because you know, religion is our own self-effort, but the gospel is us just being God's kids. Jesus doing everything for us. As John Calvin said, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become sons of God. The whole point of the gospel is that you and I are God's kids. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. So I'm just going to put the music on here, and I just want to encourage you just for a moment. We're not in any hurry, but maybe you would just stop for a moment and just ask the Father to show you by His Spirit any areas in your own life where you need Him to father you, where you need your Abba to rescue you, where you need Him to carry you, where you need Him to protect you, where you need Him to provide for you and encourage you and affirm you and liberate you, empower you, release you, sustain you, lead you, propel you, comfort you. You see, God is a father to the fatherless, and He puts the lonely in family. So I know I'm preaching to the choir on the webcast, but would you be willing today to humble yourself like a little child does? Beautiful humility of a little child who has no pretense, no self-importance, no intellect, no education, no resources at all, except that he or she is little. And they need a father's love. They need a mother's love. And would you be willing to repent? And repent is not a bad word. It just means change your mind. Would you be willing to go in the opposite direction and head back to that place of just being a little boy or little girl with a big dad, no matter what adult-sized problems you have? And would you be willing just to ask the Father to teach you how to restore the childlike simplicity that He's desired for you? You see, one of the biggest struggles that we have had in our own life that many of you know that when our daughter was diagnosed with leukemia back in 2014, and that was we were battling for her life at that point, and we had no resources. We had no ability to manage this. And the only thing that got my wife and I through that was that we were just little. We were just little kids, and our papa carried us through that entire 2.5 year nearly daily chemotherapy journey. And of course, you know, for those who know that our daughter's, she's well, she's fully recovered, back to work, doing great. But during that time, it was beyond our ability to manage. There was no strength in me that could face what we had to face for 2.5 years. But it was in that time that we experienced the kindness of our Father like we've never experienced before, the love of our Father. There was even a season where a few months into our daughter's treatment, we had no idea if we would have to use the equity of our own home to pay for her medical costs. We live in Canada, and praise God, there's universal health care here, but we had no idea about drugs and all the things. And I stopped traveling to stay at home, and we just didn't know whether we'd have to live on the resources of our own home just to look after her. And the Lord spoke to somebody that we didn't know in another continent. And we, to this day, we don't know how this person got in touch with us. I don't even think they knew of our situation. And for 10 months, they began to send us gifts. And they had no idea, but they actually provided for all of our expenses for 10 months. It was an absolute miracle. But it wasn't us trying to be big. It wasn't us trying to be strong. It wasn't us trying to be competent. We didn't even know them. And we, you know, at one point, I messaged the person and said, are you sure you want to do this? And they just kept on giving. The Father spoke to this person, this heir of God in another continent, just to provide for us in our time of need. See, God is really your Father. and he's really my dad. And he wants to father us in every way, but if we try to be strong in our own effort, if we try to be confident, and we try to be self-sufficient, if we try to think that maturity in the kingdom perspective is independence and, you know, just assertiveness and all these things, we're going to miss his fathering. He's carrying us one way or another, whether we know it or not. He is carrying you and I right now. But the glorious thing in the world is this: if we can just be able to turn and become little children again and see the world through the vantage point of being a child of Yahweh, a joint heir with Jesus, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, I'm telling you, life can absolutely just turn around. So we don't have to be afraid. See, it's not us that casts fear out of us. It's perfect love that casts all fear. So my prayer, and I just want to end with a prayer, and then just I just encourage you this week when you're just pondering any kind of challenges you're having. How can I be a little child in this circumstance with God as my Father? So Father, I just pray now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King, and also our big brother. Father, I pray that you would just open up the eyes of our hearts in a greater way today than we've ever experienced before. That you would be able to practically show us how to change and become like little children again in our hearts towards you. How we are able to actually navigate a fallen orphan world system, knowing that we are sons and daughters to the everlasting Father, where you provide for us, you protect us, you encourage us, you comfort us, you carry us. In our weakness, you are our strength. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters around the world right now. I just pray that your comfort would come, your strength would come, your healing would come, your protection would come, your provision would come, your encouragement would come. Father, that we would know that we don't have to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, but you have said to us, cast every care onto my strong shoulders because I care for you. I'm carrying you. I love you, and I've carried you all your life, and I will carry you throughout eternity. This is such is the best news ever. And I just pray, Father, that we would be able to embrace this. And Father, would you help us to embrace the humility of a little child and live there. And anytime we wander from the simplicity of living in love as with God as a Father and Jesus as our big brother, that Father, we would be quick to return, to change, to repent, to go in the opposite direction. Thank you, Father, that you want us to experience this more than we are experiencing it. And we just commit this to you. Would you just help us? Would you help us navigate how to practically walk this through in our life every day for the rest of our lives? And all God's people around the world said, amen. And amen.